Open your Bibles for a few moments back to Ephesians chapter 1. This is not my text tonight, but I want to refer to the scripture in Ephesians 1 for just a few moments. Now here in verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Underscore, at least mentally, the word Father. For here in these verses, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the Apostle records the work of the Father in the redemption of our souls. He says in verse 3, or verse 4, that he, or verse 3, that he blessed us. He's the one who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. The giver of every good and perfect gift is the Father. In verse 4, Paul said he chose us. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, not because we were holy, but that we should be holy. And then in verse 5, he said the Father predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. All whom he saves, he's going to make like Christ. And then in verse 5, the last line, the Father did this according to the good pleasure of his will. He willed it. And then in verse 6, it says that he did all this to the praise of the glory of his grace, for his glory. That's why he did this, that he might be glorified. And it says, he made us accepted. He made us accepted. We didn't accept him. He accepted us. Where? In the beloved, in Christ. Now underscore that word, the beloved. At least mentally. You don't have to do it in your Bibles. But for in the next few verses, it talks about the work of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the redemption of his people. The Father will. This is the everlasting covenant of mercy. The Father, from eternity past, will the redemption of a people. And those people are all going to be like Christ. They're going to love the things he loves and enjoy the things he enjoys and delight in the things in which he delights and be like him for all eternity. That's the kingdom of his dear Son. They're all going to have the same wedding garment. They're all going to be there to glorify his name. That's the everlasting covenant. And the Father willed it and predetermined it. He declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done. He calls those things true that aren't even yet done. And he chose us, and he blessed us. All right, now it says here in the next few verses, our Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, the Son of his love. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption. He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He put away all our sins. He canceled the debt. He paid it in full. All of his people, his elect. He didn't die for every son of Adam. He died for the sons of God. He died for his elect, his sheep, his church, his people. And we have redemption. We have it now. It's not something we're going to have later on. We have it right now. Christ already paid for it. In fact, I've had redemption from before the foundation of the world because he was the lamb slain in the mind and heart of God before he ever came to the cross. We have redemption through his blood. Through his blood, not through his blood plus our faith, his blood plus our church membership, his blood plus our profession, through his blood. In his obedience, we have a perfect righteousness. In his blood, we have a perfect justification. We have the total forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future, and that's according to the riches of his grace. His grace. Now, verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, He not only redeemed us, but verse 9 says he enlightened us. He made known unto us. Christ made known unto us the mystery of his will. No man knows the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son reveals him. The Son reveals the Father. The Son reveals the gospel. The Son reveals the mysteries of God. In Christ we have wisdom, you see. He enlightened us. He illuminated us. He shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In his face. They said, show us the Father. He said, you're looking at him. He that has seen me has seen the Father. No man knows the Father unless he knows the Son. You hear people say, well, I believe in God, don't believe in Jesus. That's ignorance. No man has seen God. God dwells in a light to which no man can approach. The only people who know God, who worship God, who love God, are those who've met Christ and know and love and worship Christ and bow to him and dwell in him. That's right. Christ, he's illumined. He not only redeemed us, but he enlightened us. He's our priest and he's our prophet. He's our prophet. All right, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Now watch verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. He, Christ, redeemed us, bought us, purchased us, paid the price, saved us, cleansed us, sanctified us, enlightened us, opened our minds and hearts and ears and eyes to see the glory of God in him, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, how God can be just and justify folks like us. I understand that in Christ. When I see Christ, I see the fulfillment of all of God's purposes. But not only did he redeem us and enlighten us, he enriched us an inheritance. Look at verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance, sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, an inheritance, eternal, undefiled, incorruptible, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. He enlightened us. He enriched us. Everything I need, I have in him. I have more than Adam had in the garden. I have more. Because what I have, I can't lose. I'm enriched. I'm a joint heir with Christ of all that God is and has. That's right. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh everything and all things after the counsel of his own will. Now watch this, that we should be to the praise of his glory. What the Father did, he did for his glory. What the Son did, he did for his glory. He saved them for his name's sake, that he might get all the glory and all the praise. And verse 13. Now here you have the Holy Spirit. Down here in verse 13, you underscore this word, that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit. Now in whom, that is in Christ, you have redemption, enlightenment, your enriched inheritance, and in Christ you trusted. You trusted him. You believed on him. You laid hold of Christ. You rested in him. You ceased from your labors and entered into his rest. When? After you heard the gospel. After you heard the word of truth. Not just any word, the word of truth, the truth about God, the truth about you, the truth about salvation, the truth about Christ. You heard the truth, the word of truth. Got to hear the truth that makes men free. Who's the truth? Christ is the truth. He said, I'm the truth. What is truth? I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the truth. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel. That's the gospel of God, the gospel of his grace, the gospel of his glory, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also you believed, after you believed, you were sealed Who did all this? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated these old dead sinners. The Holy Spirit gave life. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to us. The Holy Spirit brought faith. The Holy Spirit shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. That Holy Spirit of promise. He did it. He did it. The Holy Spirit of God came. Like Mary said to the angel, I can't bear a son. I don't know a man. He said, the Holy Ghost will come on you. And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that seed planted in you is the Son of God. And an old dead sinner, dead in trespasses and sin, has no ears and no eyes and no life and no understanding. And the Holy Spirit comes of His own will, begat He us with the word of truth, and came with the gospel, the word of truth, the seed of the word of God, and gave life. And that holy thing begotten in us is Christ. Christ is our life. It's Christ. The Spirit of God brought the Word, and we heard it, and we were enlightened, and we were sealed. And that Holy Spirit, verse 14, is the earnest. He's the token. He's the pledge of our inheritance. He dwells in us and with us. He's our teacher and comforter and paraclete until the redemption of that purchased possession, until we enter into our inheritance, until God calls us home and raises these old vile bodies, and we'll be satisfied when we awake with His likeness. And until that day, that Spirit of promise, that Spirit of God who seals us, dwells in us, and encourages us. We have the witness of His Spirit in us. We can rest. And why did He do that? Under the praise of His glory. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 21. I preached on this. I want you to see something here. Genesis 21. I preached on this a week or so ago. The message I brought you from Genesis 21 about that blessed covenant that God revealed to Abraham, which He said, Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the stars. Can you number them? He said, no, I can't number them. So shall your seed be. Look at the sands of the seashore. So shall your seed be. Going to be a people of God from every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue under heaven. That's my promise. That's my covenant with you. That's the covenant of promise. From all eternity, that's the covenant of grace. And He demonstrated it to Abraham by the casting out of Hagar and the bondwoman and her son. And He said, the son of the bondwoman cannot live with the son of promise. Christ is the son of promise, and Christ's seed, us, we're the sons of promise. The miracle child. The work of God alone. Not having anything to do with this flesh. And our works and our human righteousness cannot have a part with the son of promise. With Isaac. That's very clear now. One thing I tried to make clear to you from Genesis 21 is actually Israel was never under a covenant of works. Now Adam was. God said to Adam, you do this and live. You don't do this and you die. That's covenant of works. But Moses was never under a covenant of works. The children of Israel were never under a covenant of works. The Old and New Testament is two revelations of the same covenant. That's grace. The Old and New Testament is the same, is two revelations of the same covenant. Moses, the Levitical covenant, is the covenant of grace in picture. In type. You see that? In sacrifices and ceremonies. Moses never trusted those sacrifices. He wrote of Christ. And the people who had no understanding trusted Him. The people who had no understanding tried to find their righteousness in doing these things. but not those enlightened people. They look to Christ. They believe Christ. And so when God told him to cast out Hagar and cast out the son of the bondwoman, he's saying when this promised son comes, when Christ comes, there's no more Sabbath day, there's no more tithe, there's no more ceremonies, no more Passover, there's no more feast days, there's no more of these things. Circumcision, cast them out. But long as they stood, they were pictures of Christ. They were types of Christ. And people who saw them for what they were saw Christ. That's right. It wasn't a covenant of works. It was a covenant of types and pictures and examples of grace in Christ. And that's what that Genesis 21 was about, is the work of the Father. In His mercy and grace, in the covenant of grace in Christ, He blessed us with all spiritual blessing, not in our works, in Christ. Christ alone. Now, then we looked at Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and the message I brought you there, when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, we see the Son. In Genesis 21, the covenant of grace, the work of God, cast out the bondwoman, cast out her son, look to the child of promise, the gift of God, God alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Now in Genesis 22, you have substitution. You have the picture of the work of the Son. It says in verse 13, listen, Genesis 22:13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, And looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. Watch it. In the stead of his son. Substitution. That's Christ. See, that's what Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 says the Father chose us. The Father predestinated us. The Father accepted us. The Father did all of it. Grace, covenant of grace and mercy. Christ came and redeemed us. Christ came and took our place, died in our stead. That's what the picture of Isaac and the ram. Now, chapter 24. Here's the picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just what Paul wrote about, we and Frank and I read about in Ephesians 1. And here is clearly a picture of the ministry of the Spirit of God using His servants and His church to call out His elect. The Father chose them. The Son redeemed them. And the Holy Spirit calls them through the gospel. Now watch this. I won't keep you too long, but I want you to see this in Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken of age, in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham was mighty wealthy and powerful. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, now put, I pray thee, your hand under my thigh. That was a form of swearing and commitment, contract. And I'm going to make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go to my country, that country out of which God called him, back to the country of Nahor, Abraham's brother, father. Go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now here's the first thing. Listen. It's going to be a wedding. Going to be a wedding. Abraham has given everything in Isaac. Put everything in his hand. Isaac's the heir. The Heavenly Father's given everything to Christ. He's put all things in his son. Christ is the heir. Isaac's going to have a bride. There's a bride out yonder that belongs to Isaac. Going to have a bride. Our Lord's going to have a bride. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to have a bride. She's already chosen. She's out there. She's out there. And she's already been chosen. And it's going to be a wedding. And Isaac's going to have a bride, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a people. So the Lord, Abraham, called his servant. He said, I want you to go to the land of my fathers, get a bride for my son. And God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, calls out his servants, his faithful servants, and sends them out to get the bride. That's right. All right. Now notice the next thing. And the servant, he recognizes the difficulty of that task. He said to Abraham, suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. This is a big task. I'm to find a woman to marry your son Isaac. I'm to persuade her. Here I am, an old man. I'm to persuade her to follow me. I'm to persuade her to come to marry a man she's never seen. To come to a land to which she's never been. Suppose she's not willing. Suppose she's not willing, peradventure, she's not willing to follow me unto this land, to leave home and her parents and her kinfolks and come here to marry a man. Shall we try something else? Must I needs bring your son again into the land from which you came? Suppose now instead of going after her, I just take him down there. Let him find his own bride. Abraham said, nope. Verse 6, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now watch here. Watch here. The Lord God who called, Abraham said, the Lord God who called me out, he's going to go before you, and he'll take you to the bride. He'll take you right to her. Now listen. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto your seed I'll give this land, he'll send his angel before you, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. The Lord God, he'll go before you. The Holy Spirit will go before you. That's when we go out and preach the gospel. We're not looking for goats to turn into sheep. We're looking for sheep. We're looking for sheep. God's children are out there. Those that the Father gave to the Son are there. They're here, they're there, they're where they are. They're where they are. And we go and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know who hears that gospel? His sheep. You know who believes it? His sheep. You know who are willing to follow us? His sheep. The Holy Spirit goes before us. And calls them out. In verse 8, Abraham says to the servant, now, if the woman be not willing, you'll be clear. You'll be clear. If you warn, that's what God said to Ezekiel. He said, you go warn them, and they don't heed your warning, you're clear. Your hands are free from their blood. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I've not ceased to warn you house to house and preach the gospel. So it's not your responsibility if they won't hear you. You're free. All right, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hands. Yes, sir, the Lord, I tell you, he's put this treasure in earthen vessels. We've got the gospel. We've got the truth. We've got the glorious good news of Christ. We've got in our hands and in our hearts and from our mouths the power of God unto salvation. That's right. Christ's glory and riches is in this gospel that we're putting out. That's right. This gospel. This gospel. We take the treasures and the riches of God and we preach it. And those that, when you hear this gospel, you're enriched. Enriched. You belong to Him. You're heir of God. When you hear this gospel. See, this servant had everything that his master owned was in his hand. That's right. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now he's going to pray. Here's an old servant of Abraham, been with him for years. Loved him. He loved Isaac. This servant loved Isaac. He's going to this strange place to get the bride, the designated bride. the bride that Almighty God had chosen for his beloved Isaac. And he's got to find that bride. And he knows the impossibility of such a task. And he prays. Listen to him. He prays. He said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, be with me. Send me good speed this day. Show kindness to my master. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by this well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city going to come out to draw water. How am I going to know which one is the bride? How am I going to know? Tell you what, do, Lord. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." Who appointed? He's talking to God now, isn't he? He said, "Show me a sign. Show me some interest on the part of this woman. When this woman whom I don't know and she doesn't know me, and I'm telling her about Isaac and his glory and his riches and his greatness, let her respond to me. Let her respond. Put some words in her mouth that I'll recognize as being from you, that I'll know if she's the bride. Would you do that for me? And thereby shall I know that you showed kindness to my master." All right. And it came to pass. I love this. I like it came to pass. It came to pass. It will, too, by his grace. It may take a while, but it'll come to pass. It really will. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca. Oh, boy. There's the beloved. She didn't know it. Isaac didn't know it. The servant didn't know it. Did anybody know it? God knew it. I look out over this congregation. I see people, you didn't know it. I didn't know it. God knew it. You wandered in here some way or other and heard the gospel. He brought you. He'll cross your path. If you want to hear, he'll cross your path. He'll cross your path. Just by accident, she came to the well by the time he was there. And no accidents connected with the saving of God's people. Man supposes and God disposes. That's right. Everything's on purpose. Purpose. Oh, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her water pitcher on her shoulder. She was very fair to look upon, beautiful, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher. This girl didn't have any idea what she was coming into. Think of the glory. Think of out of her bowels came God's people through the ages. She didn't have any idea. No idea. What a glorious future God had purposed for her. She had no idea. She came to draw water. And the servant ran to meet her, and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of your pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my Lord. Drink, my Lord." I tell you this, God, there's prevenient grace. There's grace before grace. Now, don't you ever forget that. We don't hit people cold with the gospel. There's grace before grace. There's God preparing, God restraining, God keeping, God moving. Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, these people. God prepares the heart. That's right. God creates an interest. He sure does. This woman came there and she responded. She said, "Drink, my Lord." She hasted. God's people are special people. They're unusual people. Yes, sir. God takes the starch out of them and the rebellion out of them. And she responded to that man, let down her pitcher upon her hand, gave him a drink. When she'd done giving him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels also until they'd done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew all for all the camels. Now, what's this servant going to do? Come on, Rebecca, we're going down to Isaac's place.
You're it.
No, he didn't. He's a wise old man. He's a wise old man. He's been around a while. What did he do?
He wondered.
He wondered. He was amazed. And we're always amazed at the power of God and the work of God and the mysteries of God and the miracles of God. And he held his peace. Don't rush him. Don't press him. Don't run ahead of God. Let God tell her. Don't you tell her. Am I saved now, brother man? How should I know? Aren't you going to make me a deacon? I just got saved this morning. It's time for me to start teaching, isn't it? No, it's time for you to start listening. You know, he held his peace. He felt like she was one of God's elect, but he didn't know. He just kept quiet. To wit, whether the Lord had really made his journey prosperous or not. Just hold on now. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring. That's a forehead. You know how those Indian ladies and all, you still see them now wearing those. This is what that was, right here. A golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for our hands and 10 shekel weights of gold. And he said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there any room in your father's house for us to lodge in, me and my company? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshiped God. How wonderful when he's pleased to make our efforts fruitful, prosperous. Anyone? Thank God. Thank God. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my father, my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. God led me. God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. The servant didn't do anything. Just a voice. Just an instrument. Just a tool of God. Just a clay pot. God did it. God did it. He knows it. He knows it. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. Ran out and came to pass when he saw the earring, the bracelets on his sister's hands, and heard the words of Rebekah's sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, this is Laban, his brother, her brother talking, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? I prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And then they began to set meat before him. But he said, this is the servant now. Here they're treating him so kindly and like a king. And he's from Abraham. It's Abraham's family. He's Abraham's servant. Been good to their sister, daughter, and they feast. A feast. Let's socialize and have a feast. And he said, no, hold it. Hold it. I'm not here to feast. I'm here on an errand. I'm here on a mission. I'm here to find a bride for my master's son. First things first. Oh, I wish we could learn. How careful. Listen to me a moment. How easily we get sidetracked. How easy it is to become involved in other things and neglect our true mission. That could have happened here. This servant, here he is. He's on one thing is uppermost in his mind, a bride for his master, a bride for his master, a bride for his master, the happiness of his master, the glory of his master. And these people want to turn his interest. They want to feast and socialize and have fun. And he said, no, sir. No, sir. I'm not going to eat till I've told my errand. I'm going to tell my errand. I know folks must eat. Folks must provide for the body. But I know this business of seeking first the kingdom of God still holds true. Seek ye first. I know that. I know that. I know there's things to be taken care of, but these things will be there when you get back. There's some more important things to take care of. I know that in the ministry. I'm in the ministry. Primarily, we're here to preach the gospel. Primarily, we're here to reach out yonder with the gospel and find his elect and exalt the Lord Jesus and call men to him. And it's too dangerous to let these other socializing and all this other thing enter in and take the interest away from the gospel. How dangerous it is. And he wouldn't put up with it. No, sir. All right, they said, go on. Let's hear what you got to say. They said, speak on. And he said in verse 34, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord's blessed my master greatly. He's become great. You just put Christ's name right here in all these things. When this servant's talking about his master, this is God's servant talking about Christ. Talking about Christ. He's become great. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and she asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Unto him hath he given all that he hath. Everything belongs to him, Isaac, to Christ. And my master made me swear, saying, don't you take a wife to my son of these heathen, pagan Canaanites in whose land I dwell. You go to my father's house. You go to my kindred. You take a wife for my son. And I said, master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you. He'll prosper your way. You can't fail. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. To one, we're the Savior of life unto life. To others, death unto death. But we are successful and victorious always in Christ. You can't preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God without accomplishing God's purpose. My word will not return to me void. It'll accomplish that whereunto I sent it. It'll save or it'll damn. That's right. Isn't that right? And that's what this old boy is saying. He's saying here that the Lord will go before him. Go send his angel with you. He'll prosper you. Verse 40, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this thine oath. How can a preacher compromise the gospel when it's so clear? God must anoint the preacher and make effectual the gospel and open the ear of the hearer. We can't save anybody. When thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from your oath. That's all right. Go your way. You've done what I called you to do. So I came this day to the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now you'll prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand at this well of water. And it come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both, drink thou, and I also draw for your camels. Let that be the same, let the same be the woman which the Lord hath anointed for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, your Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water, and I said to her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and she said, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and I said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom milk will bear unto him. And I put the earring on her face and the bracelets on her hand. And I bowed down my head and I worshiped the Lord. And I blessed the Lord God of Abraham, my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter to his son. And now, watch it now, listen. Listen. And he says, and now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me.
My Lord's not a beggar now. Tell me. If not, tell me. If you will, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. I'll turn to the right or to the left. If you'll hear me, if you'll deal kindly and graciously and honorably with my master, not with me. Doesn't matter how you treat me. I'm talking about how you treat him. Now you tell me. If you're not going to deal kindly with him, I'll go to the right or to the left. He's not a beggar. Oh boy, I tell you, he's not a beggar. He's a king. He's a king. You're not doing him any favors. He's doing us a favor. That servant let that be known, didn't he? He let that whole household know, you're not doing my master a favor. He's doing you a favor. And you tell me now, and I'll go one way or the other. You're not a beggar. All right, now watch how they respond. This is interesting. He received a general agreement. And this is the way most folks, act in this day. It's the way they act. It's the family doing the talking now, the brother and the daddy and a whole bunch of them. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing proceedeth from the Lord. This is of God. People always tell me, you're preaching the truth. Well, heck, I know it before you told me. I agree with what you say. That don't make any difference to me. Whether you agree or not, I'm telling the truth. This is God's word. And here's this is all right. This is what they're saying. They're saying this thing proceeded from the Lord. We can't speak good or bad. You better. You better. They're on the fence, aren't they? And this, it's all right. What you're saying, so that's all right. It's so. We can't say good or bad. Behold, Rebekah's before you. Take her and go, and let her be our master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It's all right. We give our permission. Now, stay with me. The servant couldn't read that. He couldn't read it. And we can't too often. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord. He bowed himself to the earth. And he brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and went to bed and went to sleep. And got up the next morning. And he said, all right, I'm ready to go. Pack her things. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time right now. I'm ready to go. And her brother and her mother said, oh, hold it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute here. They said, let the damsel stay with us a few days. You know what they're saying? A few months. A year. We want her to stay here. We're willing. We agree. You're talking truth. You're telling the truth. You're willing for it to be so, but not now. We've got plans. We got things to do. We'll let her go later in our time when we get ready. After all, we can't be too sure about you. We won't look into you. Your background, and we're going to check on Isaac. We got some things to do. And he said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. Now, let me read you a verse over here in Luke 9. This is what I thought of when I read that, when they said, well, let's just wait. Wait a while. Got some things to do first. Listen to this over here. And the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And a man said, well, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I'll follow you after I've taken care of my business.
And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You go right now and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, well, Lord, I'll follow you. Let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Come right now. Right now. That's what these folks are doing, aren't they? Isn't that what it is? So they said here in verse 57, they said, now here's where the matter's settled. Listen, they said, we'll call Rebecca and you will inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca and they said to Rebecca, will you go with this man? Now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. Rebecca was convinced in her heart that this was a man of God. Her brother and father had been talking like she'd been listening. She hadn't said a word. Not a word. You know, I always find when God deals in grace with a man's heart, he shuts his mouth. That's the first thing he does. He closes his mouth. When I hear people who are doing a whole lot of talking, you know, they're not doing a whole lot of listening. And she'd been listening. They all been talking. She'd been listening. And she was convinced that this man was of God. She heard him speak of the glory of Isaac. She listened. She was listening to him talk about Isaac. The beauty of Isaac. The glory of Isaac. The riches of Isaac. The goodness of Isaac. That man, don't you know he told them about Isaac? How wonderful. What is your beloved more than any other beloved? He told them. He's the greatest young man in the world. He's the finest person on earth. He's this, he's that. He's altogether lovely. He's this. She's sitting there listening to that man talk about Isaac, who wanted to marry her. She'd live forever with Isaac. She'd be an heir with Isaac. Oh, she heard that, and she went to bed that night after they got through with her, and she lay there with her hand behind her head, looking at, hadn't said a word, just meditating. She didn't sleep a wink. She's thinking about Isaac. Her life here, how dull, and no prospects of any future at all. And this man's talking about the glory of Isaac and life with Isaac, and all those things. Oh, my. And she didn't say anything when her parents started talking about later on. She was an obedient daughter. A submissive daughter. But now, every eye's on her. And she's looking into the face of this servant. And he looked straight at her. And her parents looked at her. And they said to her, will you go with this man? I bet she did everything in the world to keep him laughing out loud. She said, I will go. I will go. Right now. I believe him. I believe him. I will arise and go to Jesus and he will embrace me in his arms and in the arms of my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. I'll go. Rest of you stay right here. I'm going to Isaac. I'm going to Isaac. And they sent her away, verse 59. And her nurse, Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and they said, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Thy seed possessed the gate of those that hate them. That happened too, didn't it? The mother of millions. Jacob and Esau. This goes right on down, doesn't it? Jacob have a love. Rebecca. Let's read just a little bit more. I'll let you go. This is so beautiful here. And Rebecca rose, verse 61, her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servants took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well. Lahora. For he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she got off the camel. And she said to the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It's my master." And she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife. And, oh, listen, he loved her. He loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Our Lord has a glorious, everlasting, sure, certain covenant of mercy and grace. He'll have a kingdom. He'll have a bride for his son. The Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ, came down here and purchased those people, redeemed them by his precious blood, paid the price, seated at the right hand of God, interceding for them, and they're out here somewhere. Old and young and rich and poor and learned and unlearned and male and female and bond Scythian, black and white, every tribe, nation, kindred under heaven. And God sends his servants to find the bride. And the Holy Spirit goes before them. And they go and they tell. What do they tell? They tell about Isaac. They tell about Isaac. That's that servant. He talked about Isaac. And I tell, when she saw him, she left that servant too. She left that servant and fell into the arms of Isaac. Now you go find another one. That's right. She's found her Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Successful ministry. Telling about Isaac. That's the key, though. Tell them about Isaac. My master. How many times he say that in that one chapter? My master. My master. My master. My master. All right.